You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
This is Aaron Sheik. You guys listen to VOC Nation.
Cody Rhodes annoys the hell out of me. AEW is becoming WWE, and the road to WrestleMania is heating up. Namar is also back. Wrestling with History, right after our theme music.
American Dream.
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
Heard worldwide.
WOCNation.com.
The Insane Clown Posse.
Thank all you guys enough. Whoop, whoop.
We understand our audience, and we give them what we think they would want.
We're about pleasing the fans.
Road Warrior Hannibal.
Jake the Snake Roberts.
The wrestling has changed so much.
Conan.
Yo, this is K-Dog. Yo, with Bowdy Bowdy and Rowdy Rowdy.
Hall of Fame ring announcer Howard Finkel.
Brilliance was Bobby Heenan's middle name.
Lex Luger. God's given me a whole new perspective on wrestling and the fans.
WWE Hall of Famer Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Right off, thanks for having me on your radio show from the Jersey Shore.
The legendary Diamond Dallas.
Bang!
Voice of Choice Wrestling Nation.
I put my name in, but again, we're just waiting for a phone call.
You could be Moroccan, Algerian, Albanian, Greek.
This is the best crowd I've ever seen in my entire life.
I love cheesecake.
I do not respond to his lunacy.
Malcolmania.
And I don't think Hollywood's ready for Malcolmania, but we'll wait still.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart.
Your talk show here that I'm doing here is the best one.
Jimmy Hart.
I've been lucky every day I get up and look in the mirror and pinch myself.
The ninth wonder of the world. China.
I told Vince, I said, yeah, I'm going to wrestle the guys. And that's how it started.
X-Pac.
We're wrestlers, and it's still a wrestling show.
Mr. Scott Hall.
Hey, yo, I want to rock the wrestling world again.
OneWrestling.com, Bill After.
If it wasn't for Hogan and Vince McMahon, sports entertainment would not be in existence.
We have a bushwhacker in the house.
G'day, mateys. It's bloody lovely being on your show.
MVP.
I came up with the MVP concept based on everything that's wrong with pro athletes today.
VOC Nation, heard worldwide.
This right here is the future of wrestling.
By Wrestling with History worldwide in the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Lots of stuff going on in the wrestling world. I want to make sure that we remind everybody, follow us on Twitter, on X, at WWHVOC. Make sure that you jot down the email address if you want to get to the show is brucevoc@gmail.com. And make sure that if you're listening on VOC Nation, you give it a follow and your five-star review and you leave a comment. That helps the show to reach people. We are currently the number one wrestling show on the charts in China. So I want to get there in the U.S., right? It sounded like you were going to say something. I don't know what happened.
I believe in your message. I'm sorry. I had muted it because I needed to put this spray up my nose.
I see.
And you deferred to me right at that critical moment. And as you can see, I didn't know how to recover. But okay. So let's go for it.
Okay. All right. So listen, Cody Rhodes, I want to start there. Cody Rhodes is really annoying me. And I don't know if I was always annoyed by Cody Rhodes. You know, I haven't really watched wrestling until we started doing the show again. I haven't really being a wrestling fan. And I've said this on the last couple of episodes. I'm a big fan now of the current product. And I'm actually watching the shows. And
unreal.
I heard this on a few other shows, but Busted Open maybe. I don't think Cornette said this, but I definitely think I heard it on Busted Open, Mark Henry, Bully Ray. Cody Rhodes is annoying. I mean, he is annoying to watch on TV. I don't understand how he's a face. Like, I don't understand how people cheer him. He's annoying. He the way he talks, and listen, I'm not trying to, there's a lot of people out there that have lisps. Hallelujah. But you're not all top wrestling stars. And I just, it's not the lisp itself, but the way that the slow, like methodical way that he talks, it just doesn't sound like the energy of a face. He sounds like a heel. And It really annoys me that The Rock is having to be the heel, because this guy went and cried, and all of his fan base cry that he can't finish his stupid story. And I don't know. I'm ready to hate on Cody Rhodes tomorrow. I'm ready for him to turn, and I'm ready to boo the shit out of him. And I said shit because I can.
You know what? The beautiful thing about me in this situation is that I don't care enough. You know, it all is a weak product to me. So, it really doesn't matter. I honestly, all of the personalities are horrible. I really cannot express how underwhelming and awful the Elimination Chamber was. I mean, it was just horrible product through and through. And, you know, wrestling needs a revolution. It needs to go back to its basics. Not all the way. Not all the way. But we really... It's hard to judge people, Bruce, because they're not being themselves. That, you know, the writers are writing everything for them. And I heard somebody, and it's a shame that I can't reference them, but a lot of people will suck up to writers to get preferential treatment. And I don't know if things have changed because Vince is not there anymore, but it's hard to really gauge these people and their true talent when they're not able to express it, especially when it comes to a product like wrestling, where we see that when people create their own characters, they really are much more powerful entities, and they stick with people in a stronger way. I mean, when you look at, I mean, Bruce, before the show began, I showed Bruce a clip of WCW, and we were watching, you know, some Dusty and some
the Bullwood, if you will.
Bye-bye. And those guys created those personas.
Yeah.
They had them mastered down. And at that time, because you can see that it was 20 years past their prime, they still had the crowd flipping out. And it just, that's why they're so fondly remembered. And they're even highly regarded amongst those that don't even watch that older product. And I think that I would like to see with this new generation, it's like, what could Cody Rhodes be if Cody Rhodes could develop a Cody Rhodes character?
Well, I think this is his character. So and by the way, so AEW lets the guys do their own promos, and that product is far worse to me than WWE. And by the way, they've gotten better lately because they hired Jen Pepperman, who's now their senior or vice president of content. She's like helping write the material. And you saw that with Mercedes Moné, who used to be Sasha Banks in WWE.
But Bruce, how are they creating their, if they're doing that, but they still have writers, then how are they really doing that?
Well, no, they didn't have writers for a long time. And they just hired Jen Pepperman to be, you know, to lead that writing initiative.
So you're saying that AEW is actually benefiting from having writers
right now, because to me, and I said this on the last, if you listen to the last show that I did without Namar, it was a bonus show, and I talked about how AEW to me is, it's been stale. They've been on the air now for 4 or 5 years, and they can't get past 1 million viewers. They just can't break that barrier. And they just cater to the what I call the hardcore wrestling fan. And I'm not trying to sound like Vince Russo, but they cater to the mawks. You know, that's it's just the people that like that Japanese style of choreographed wrestling. But the thing that I was excited, I mean, I was doing Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick when AEW started. And we were talking about how we were excited that you had a wrestling company that was, they were bringing in these indie stars that created their own characters, and they were just letting them be themselves. And they were, there's no script. And it was like, well, this is going to be great.
And then, you know what I realized is the missing element?
What's that?
Cornette? The missing element is that they do not have, and controversy or not, they don't have a Vince McMahon, a Pat Patterson. They don't have a Dusty Rhodes. They don't have
they had a Cody.
Yeah, you know, in AWA, you know, who was
Vern.
Vern. Vern, it was actually, it's funny because he was actually very creative. He actually, you know, initiated a lot of the tricks and things that Hulk Hogan did to really, you know, extend him getting over. And that's the thing, is that they don't have those people directing the storylines. And when you have, if you have somebody who can direct those strong storylines, and that's when those guys will be allowed to build up. And, you know, I think you'll get a better product. It's not that, you know, AEW might have done that good part, but they're still suffering from not have, they have poor management. That's the problem. And poor management means poor storylines. It means poor performance in the ring, because the AEW is all about the high flying. And it's funny because, as you and I were talking about before the show, Al Snow recently talked about how that somebody's going to get hurt, seriously hurt in the ring, because he was showing clips of these botches and these just ridiculous moves that they're trying to do. And so because their focus is on that, that is why the AEW product sucks, and it can't get from underneath that weight that it's under. Right. That's what's missing. You need to have people who understand human drama, and
that's right.
And that's what's missing. That's what's missing from AEW. It's not that they might have done good that way, but they didn't complete the process. See, both companies are suffering, you know, in these different ways. You know, wrestling needs to feel. It has to feel real. It has to feel real. And there's too much talking. There's way too much talking. Didn't you complain a couple of shows ago that there were only a few matches and it was just tons of talking and commercials?
Well, it was a lot of commercials. The talking doesn't bother me. You know, that was a big thing that I actually liked during the Attitude Era, was all the, everything was a story. And I do like that about wrestling, because it makes me care more than if it's just a match. That's the problem, I think, with AEW, is there's too many matches for the sake of having matches, and it just doesn't it doesn't bring me in I'm more of a casual fan now. I watch the current product like a casual fan, and AEW doesn't make me care enough about the product that they're putting on TV. WWE has me deeply invested in some of their storylines. The whole Bloodline storyline, the Cody story, you know, even though I feel a certain way about Cody right now, I'm invested in what's going to happen. I love The Rock, and I love the women's division. You know, I've said this before, I saw Bayley, and so did you, even though you don't remember, when she was first starting out at big time wrestling in San Jose, California, Newark, California, I think it was. I mean, that I'm invested in this stuff, and AEW is not doing anything to make me invested.
Well, not at all. I'll never forget when AEW started, and that was the last time I watched their product. I was so excited. I said, finally, we're getting somebody to
finally.
Yeah. to break this nonsense and of this monopoly. And I remember thinking, like, it was worse. It was worse. They were flipping and flopping and throwing each other all over the place. And it really just got on my nerves. And I didn't even finish the product or the show. And I said, I'm done with this. I'm done with it. And, you know, and so with WWF or WWE, wow, you can really tell I stay in old school. Wow. Okay. So with WWE, I think that they need to, they've become too corporate. They've become too corporate with the product. And wrestling is better with more grassroots, where it's more authentic and more personal to the individual who's the performer. And it's just like what you and I had talked about a couple of weeks ago. It's sort of like with modern day sports. Analytics has ruined the game for many games for a lot of people. I know my brother in particular is really disgusted with basketball as a whole. I mean, he considers it completely unwatchable.
Running down, jacking up a three.
Exactly.
All the sports. Yep.
Right. You know, and Bruce, I mean, you're a baseball fan. And so, you know,
same thing, strikeout or home run. That's how they play the game.
Exactly. And so let me ask you, in that product, I know you said that they shortened the games and I think you said they were a little bit more enjoyable, but share, you know, obviously in context with the wrestling, how analytics has played a negative impact on baseball to relate it to wrestling.
Well, it's the same thing. It's so with wrestling, I think they look at, you know, what they hyper focus on the high spots. Like, so if I go to AEW, and I think WWE does this differently, they hyper focus on the things that make the fans pop. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they go up on the top of a ladder and come through. They had Darby Allin went through a plate of glass on Sting's final match for no reason. I mean, there's no reason. There's no reason. The whole story was Sting's final match. What reason, other than to take the eyes off of him and the focus off of him and put it on you, why are you going through a thing of glass? And then they made sure to let everybody know it's not fake sugar glass, it's real glass. And I mean, that's just stupidity. And the thing is, if you do it every week, and this is why they can't grow past 900,000 viewers, Dave Meltzer, because he loves this shit. You do it every week, you become numb to it, right? I mean, yeah. It's the same thing when you do something all the time, you know, drugs, people that get started on drugs, you do drugs and they give you the best high in the world. This is what they teach you in school anyway. I wouldn't know. And then after you do it 100 times, you can't get the same thing. So you do more and more and more, and then you end up growing, getting a problem. And there's nowhere to go. AEW has nowhere to go. You've already done high spot after high spot, flip after flip. And I mean, unless we're going to another level of gymnastics that it's not invented yet, what the hell's the purpose? I mean,
Bruce, that's the funny part about modern wrestling is watching these guys try to come up with these new moves. They get more elaborate and ridiculous and convoluted. It's like, yeah, there's only so, it's sort of like I heard a musician say, Stephanie Mills, she said, there's only so many notes available, you know. Yeah. You get to a point where there's only so much available that the human body can do, or the two human bodies can do, and it gets to be stupid. And I think, you know what it is? I think maybe we're looking at wrestling, we have to look at things like with life. When it comes to the human factor, we have to have ebbs and flows, highs and lows.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of wrestling as an entertainment, the Attitude Era was probably, that should have been a high, and then we should have come right down after it. The wrestling business, once that tapered off, and I think you have the Ruthless Aggression Era, whatever, yeah. Whenever it really changed into what this new product is, after all of those guys really started to fade away, it should have come down, but it's still trying to stay at that level. And I think the problem is, honestly, the problem with wrestling is the fans. It is the marks. It is the people who are constantly, who who used wrestling as a crutch, which works against wrestling.
You're talking about the Meltzerites, right? The people that Dave's people that just love the Japanese style of wrestling.
Luchador stuff is nonsense. It's nonsense. You come off, you know, when you used to throw somebody into the turnbuckle and they went a little bit further and hit the ring post. I mean, that was something serious. Mm-hmm. You know, now these guys, they do moves that just don't mean anything. It has to mean something. And that's what's missing. Nothing means anything. And it needed to come back down after the Attitude Era and maybe the Ruthless Aggression. And I really can't speak too much on that, but it's sort of like when your Kurt Angles went away, when Triple H became less active, Undertaker was like clearly too old to be in the ring. Yep. But when that started to transition, wrestling should have came back down to basics, but it's maintained this certain level of, this is the problem with it becoming an evergreen. This is when it becomes so corporate and so institutionalized that even when they fail, they succeed, which blinds the people who are creating the product. And that's the catch 22, because they're still making a ridiculous ton of money. But this is a good point too. All you have to do is, no matter how many toys they sell, right? The modern toys they sell, because they sell a crap ton of them. All you have to do is go to eBay and type in, you know, WWE Elite Lot or Basic Lot, and you should see how cheap you can get these figures for. You can't get the older wrestling figures for cheap. Some of them you can, you know, matter of fact, I got a couple of them, but you can't get whole lots of them cheap like the way you can these regular, the modern day characters. Everything's throwaway. It doesn't stick to your bones. There's nothing hardy about it. Right. And it's just consuming, people just consuming to consume. It's like, you know, and you can tell it's an empty product replacing something empty within the person. And it's funny, because one of the things I really do enjoy is I love the era of wrestling that I like. I love looking at the crowds and seeing what people respond to, what they feel, and that is what's missing in modern wrestling. These are people who love wrestling no matter what. So they know what to do at certain times. Nothing's authentic. There's nothing real. And I think that those people are part of the problem, because that's why it keeps those who make the product delusional.
Right.
And because WWE's not going to change. They just signed another multi-billion-dollar contract. Yeah. They just did, you know, they're going to do two nights at WrestleMania.
Well, they have for the last 4 years, to be fair.
No, but I'm just saying, but that's the problem. They like you said, they've been doing it for 4 years. It's insane how horrible this product has been, and they're able to do that. That's the point. These people, and there needs to be a revolution, and I hope somebody who has enough money can really make a third company to challenge the status quo, where things can mean something. Kayfabe needs to come back. Wrestlers need to get off social media. They need to, you know, wrestlers are talk about some of the most insecure people. They're annoying. They're so insecure. You know, they get all excited about what Dave says or his stupid ratings. Like, when did we get to that point? Like where the wrestlers get all excited and they leap up and down and jump up and down because Dave gave them one of the, how many stars did Dave give my match? You, dude, seriously, stop. You know, and it's the whole
this thing. Old ass man that, and listen, Dave is he's probably one of the reasons we're able to do this right now. He was a pioneer, but
but you know what, Bruce, it doesn't matter. He has been a negative entity in wrestling since he started, since day one. I didn't know that he was doing shows in the 90s. Like, I don't know how he would distribute them, these little tapes that he would do or whatever, but I actually came across one of them and I was shocked. I didn't know, because I didn't know anything about Dave Meltzer. I was not part of that particular wrestling world until much later on into my adulthood. And I didn't know about the dirt sheets or anything like that growing up. I didn't care. And it is people like him that has ruined wrestling for everybody. I had a discussion, Bruce, and I'm gonna tell you, this was with a coworker just 2 weeks ago. He's a wrestling fan. We were working together on a project, and I found out that he was a wrestling fan. I'm a little bit older than him. He's still in his late 30s. I'm in, like you, I'm, you know, in my, we're hitting our mid 40s now.
Yeah, wow.
And this guy, he said, we were talking about, and he loves the current product. I don't understand that, but I'll give it to him.
Me too. He's a good guy.
But we should not be, honestly, Bruce, and this is the truth, we should not be discussing how we want the angles to be. Like, that is the wrestling conversation, because we know the business so much that now fans watch it through the lens of how they want it, instead of enjoying what's being delivered. And I thought about our conversation. We were talking about what would be the best angle according to what we want. And I don't want that. You know, I want to be able to watch it and be surprised, or to see where they're going, not to anticipating the best methods or I want to go for the ride. And that's why I said, we, even as a wrestling fan who, I mean, I've enjoyed the shoot interviews and all of that, I really believe we need to pull the curtain back and get back into kayfabe. We really do. When a punch means something, and guys react appropriately, if we could do that and get people off of social media, stop talking, stop bringing us into your personal lives. No, you know, we don't need that. And that's the society today, but that's also what's wrong with society today. Not to say that you can't be familiar with celebrities, but you see how celebrities are, you know, and they usually have people working for them, but they're all over social media. Right. You know, George Takei, his whole, he's silly, you know, but he became popular from all of his little stupid writings on Twitter and all of that nonsense. And they want to bring us into their world. There needs to be some kind of separation between an entertainer and a consumer. And that's the problem. And I think that we're way too deeply connected. I just want to enjoy a good product. And I don't always want to be thinking about, I hope they do it this way. I want them to do it in a way that blows my mind. And I appreciate it for what they came up with and not what I'm anticipating or what I think is the right way. But, and I do that. I'm sorry, Bruce. I know I go on and on. I'm about to wrap it up. I know I can filibuster, but so, you know, I know that I do that. Matter of fact, our show has been partially built on that. I believe we need to pull back from that. Mm-hmm. You know, if the product is good, we can just talk about what's going on. And you can say, oh, you talk about your favorite character. And, oh, I hope he gets the title because blah, 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 blah. Like, we need to have that. And, you know, when you watch, look, I'm going to tell you, go back and watch the 80s and watch how people enjoyed it. They just enjoyed what was happening at the moment, what was given to them, the hype surrounding the characters and all of that. Everybody is now chiming in. Like you said, the fans chiming in on Cody and his story is ridiculous. We've gotten to that point where we don't even know, did they change angles because of the fans, or you can't even tell. Like, it's ridiculous. So I'm sorry I've said it. Go on, Bruce.
No, that is exactly where I was going. And that is going back and circling back to what we said at the beginning of the show. That is why I hate this stupid story. And that's why I hate Cody Rhodes right now. I hate Dave LaGreca, because why not just watch where the WWE was going with this? Why not just go along for the ride? And in 1989, I wouldn't have cared about Randy Savage's story. I just wanted to see Hulk Hogan win the match. You know, I was a fan of the product and the people. And this whole thing about making sure, like, the script has to be written this way. I mean, we're not talking, we're now at the point where we're not just investing ourselves into fake fights, right? For entertainment purposes.
Right.
Now we're like, would you ever do that? Like, with a TV show or a movie? Like, how dare they write the ending that way?
And you know, I mean, that does happen naturally. You know, where you can be like, for instance, I didn't watch the show, but I know there was a big controversy around the ending to the show Lost.
Yes. And sorry, even, I probably woke up the house there. I love Lost, my favorite thing.
Oh, well, obviously I didn't know that. And the Sopranos, I know there was a, you know, and I binge watched the Sopranos about 2 years ago, and that ambiguous ending. And, you know, that's something where, you know, it builds up an anticipation, anticipation for the climax of these characters. But I didn't have a particular ending in mind that I hoped for. It was just like, you knew things were escalating. How is this going to end? You were curious, but there were no demands on how it should end. Like, I didn't say, oh, this particular guy needs to get back at Tony and take him out, or, you know, or this guy, you know, needs to, you know, you went along on the ride. You, what it was is that you felt you were reacting to the current drama at hand, and you were like, oh my gosh, how is this going to end? But you weren't living in, it has to end this way.
Right.
Or it has to be this way. You were anticipating it from its overall, what they were giving you in the moment. And that is what is missing. I mean, it's psychotic, the world we live in. And we've allowed the inmates to run the asylum. Because I'm going to tell you, Dave Meltzer is out of his mind. He's a clown, and I don't care. He is. I mean, you know, in terms of wrestling, because I don't know the man personally. In terms of wrestling, he's a clown, and he's a bona fide hater. He does not even look at things objectively. He's just a hater, and he likes what he likes. And he's and for some reason, wrestling attracts a particular kind of weirdo. There's a very particular kind of weirdo, and those are the people that follow Meltzer, and they're the lost kind. You know, they don't have a lot of critical thinking skills,
sure,
which makes them dangerous. But that's the problem. That's what we're suffering from, with because we've allowed those people to dictate certain things to us, and part of it is the wrestler's fault, because a lot of wrestlers would give Dave information, and it became a thing. It became a tradition. And the insecurity of wrestlers, they needed to shut their mouths. And now we've lost control of the product, and it really is out of control. I mean, it really is just strictly out of control.
Well, everybody is going out there and trying to top the match that went before them. Everybody's trying to have the 5-star match. And Bruce Pritchard actually talks about this on his on Something to Wrestle with Conrad, back in the old days anyway. He would talk about how they would purposely put a match out there to bring the crowd down after a hot match. And they built a card that way. And that would set people up for the main event to go home happy. And now you have like these matches in the middle of the card where they're killing themselves with you know, bats and glass and tacks. And by the time you get to the main event, which is an old fashioned, you know, match, everybody's like, oh, this is stupid. I want to go home. I've already seen, you know, three dives off of a ladder. I've seen somebody fall through glass. It's just, I mean, there's no real thought into putting together a card, at least in AEW. I think WWE is a little bit better at this, but the performers aren't working for the good of the team. You know, they're not working for the good of the card or the good of the company. They're all just trying to go out and have 5-star matches so Dave claps behind his computer.
Exactly. And it's a mess. It absolutely is a mess. And I'll tell you, if you look at the legends never had to do that. They sold a persona. And I told you, one of the things I've become a deep fan of, speaking of which, this is a little side.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
VOC Nation is one of the longest running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former WCW performer The Maestro, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Bruce Wirt, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archived free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at vocnation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
I did not know, but this has become one of my favorite wrestling theme songs. Rick Rude's WCW theme song that sounds like a Pointer Sister song is slamming. So I've been enjoying
I don't think I've ever heard it.
Bruce, you have to listen to it. It really sounds like something that you would hear on the radio. And it's funny because I did comment. I looked at the comments and I'm a big Pointer Sister fan. So when to see people actually say that, here you go. That's a jam. And Rick Rude could sell an audience on just by looking at them and saying very little. He didn't have to even do much. He came to the ring with an attitude and you believed it. When these guys come to the ring with the attitude, you don't believe it. It's nothing. You don't really believe this guy's arrogant or sincere. Rude was able to convey that. Like, there's a match with him in New York, and just the way he responded to the crowd with the boos was so epic to me. They don't even know how to move people subtly. They don't know that art. They only know the acrobatic art. They don't know the human art. And that's what's missing. And the problem is that they all come from, they're all taught the same way. There's no individuality. And so, you know, one of the things that I remember somebody said is that, you know, Hogan said it. And I mentioned this in one of the last shows. Everybody in WWE comes through the Performance Center, right? Yeah. And you generally, characters are given to them. They're not able to hone, you know, their craft and skill. And I think Tony Atlas and I think a couple of other people have said it. You learned how to work in a car. Bobby Heenan said it. I believe he said it because Title Match Network.
Richard too. I mean, Richard has said that a lot.
Yeah. They learn to work in the car, traveling together, in, you know, going to different territories. And don't get me wrong, I was one of those people. Looking back on it now, I'm glad the WCW survived as long as it did, because it held on to, you know, not having just the WWF into the WWE for a very long time. And that gave you better performers, better wrestling, even when it was at its worst than today. Yeah. And so with people, that's why they can't connect on a human experience, because the WWE does not teach that. You have to learn the psychology from the old guys, and you have to be in the ring, and the old guys would sabotage you, but you know, but they still would teach you a little, you know, but that is how you learned. And I'm telling you, it is the subtle things, you know, when somebody could just come into the ring, like Piper could come into the ring and give that old stupid smile and that ridiculous face he'd make, and people would be incensed. They would just, he could exude that on such a powerful level that he could send 19,000 people into a fit, you know, about his smugness. You can't do that today. They don't know how to do that. They don't know how to connect with an audience. They connect with people who just love, okay, what is your next acrobatic move going to be? You know, listen, I can go watch the Olympics if I want to watch a bunch of gymnasts.
That's right. I want to see people. Not even with a story. That's the problem. If the acrobatic moves all had a story attached to it, then it would be fine. But they're just throwing out matches. It's not good.
Not at all. You know, and I, you know, and
WWE and doesn't do that. I want to clarify my position
to a lesser degree. Maybe we'll say to a lesser degree.
Well, no, I think WWE under the Triple H era, post Vince McMahon, and Triple H was doing this as he was more involved, you know, when it towards Vince's later days too. They blend styles, and I think that's what you have to say, give WWE credit for. I know you're not a consumer of the current product, and you haven't given it much of a chance outside of watching maybe the Elimination Chamber and a few shows here and there. I think if you watch the product, and I don't watch every show every week, but I will, you know, peruse and I will follow the product. And I think there's something for everybody. There's the old school feel, there's the new school feel, and there's everything in between. I don't like the commercials. There's too many commercials, just too many. So well, Bruce, Netflix can't thing. Come soon it, enough.
Is there too much product on TV? That's another point of contention with, I know the older guys, the older wrestlers, they say that there's just too much product on TV. Yep. And that makes it less special. And if you think about it, wrestling was always 24/7, 365, where other sports took breaks. However, you still didn't see it on TV all the time, or you had the jobber matches on TV mostly, and you had to go to the house shows and, you know, to see the big events and stuff like that.
Right.
And that also is part of the problem. And you're talking about what, 2 to 3 hours of Raw. I don't know how SmackDown, is it the same thing? And it's every week and every week. And it's weird because they're on TV every week, but they work a far less hectic schedule than the guys from years past. But that's the thing. It's too much. And it's just too much of everything. It's like, you're just numb. What makes things great, like, again, for you guys that are in the professional sports, that anticipation of when, oh man, this season is about to start, you know? And even though you can't do that in wrestling, this is about to come around, can I enjoy this? I mean, they were having pay-per-views every month. You remember that era? I mean, like, it was ridiculous. And WrestleMania still means something, but all this other stuff is nonsense. Like, people can see through it now, and that's why they need to pull the curtain back. It's too much product. I don't know, because it's hard. How do you tell them that when they're signing billion-dollar contracts, though?
Well, that's what I'm saying is, this is the most successful era in pro wrestling, whether you and I love the product as much as we did in 1988 or 1998. It's the most successful era monetarily for wrestling, and it has the biggest fan base than it's ever had. And at least WWE does. And I think some of that is because AEW has risen the level of competition. You know, when Vince McMahon had it to himself after the death of WCW, he did not have to compete. And you saw that. That's the best thing that AEW did, whether we like that product or not. It caused some competition, and it caused the WWE to have to work to please the fans and please their talent, because the talent was upset. There was nowhere for them to go. And now you need to work to put on a good product to keep everybody happy. And I desperately want AEW. I'm not crapping on them because I don't like them or don't want them to succeed. I'm crapping on them because I want that product to succeed, because the 20 years that we didn't have competition in wrestling made me turn off the product. I like the fact that I'm watching it right now.
You want to know something? I'm with you there too. I know that I'm much harder on the product than old people. And I will admit, I can get stuck. I freely admit that, because I've missed a lot of really good years being stuck in the '80s. I admit that. It's just the truth. I now, looking back, I wish that I had, I'm going to tell you, I live in regret now. I regret that I missed going to see the WCW matches when you know, because we could have seen some of those when we were in high school and a little bit after.
Yeah,
I missed the going to. It would have been nice to have seen an Attitude Era match or show, and I completely missed that. Even Hogan's return, I was so disconnected from the product, his final run in WWE, I completely missed it. And everybody knows I'm a bona fide Stone Cold through and through Hulkamaniac. And so I can get stuck. I admit that. But truthfully, and this is the truth, I want to love the product again. The only thing that really kept me from the Attitude Era was, again, partially was being stuck. And also it was too degenerate for me. You know, it was just too nasty and vulgar in a lot of places. And I did not enjoy that. But I do know that it was absolutely brilliant. I mean, there were some things that were completely brilliant. So I want to love the product too. But I know what is needed for me. And I think that that's why we're in a weird, wrestling has reached this plastic evergreen situation where we're happy that it has become a mainstay competitively it probably has superseded boxing now. Wrestling is probably more profitable than boxing. But it is in competition with NBA, NFL. I mean, can we even say that wrestling is bigger than the NHL?
Well, probably. I mean, I don't know who watches hockey anymore, but I do. I think, I mean, wrestling, they got a $5 billion contract with Netflix. I think we'll see. And that's the value of The Rock here. And that's why I hate the Cody Crybabies, because this transition into Netflix, they need characters and stars that will bring on the casual fan. You want, like, the person that turns on Netflix and sees The Rock or wrestling in general to say, I want to turn that on and I want to watch that. And that will make the product even bigger. And that's the opportunity that they have and that we have as wrestling fans. So I'm asking you out there, don't get stuck on this Cody needs to finish his story. You have to think about the greater good of the product and getting the most eyes on this product. And I'm sorry to say it, and you can hate on me all you want, at Brady Hicks. You can hate on me all you want. Cody Rhodes is not the guy that will bring in the casual fan. He just doesn't have it. He doesn't have it.
That's true. I may like his rhythm as a wrestler, like the way he moves, because of obviously his lineage. But in terms of a personality, no, he'll never bring. Isn't it crazy? As big as wrestling is, it really isn't mainstream though. Wrestling is a very strange business today. I mean, the world over is, like, we're looking at some serious dysfunction. And I agree with you 100%. He's not the guy. He's at the most an intercontinental level champion.
He's a worker. He's a solid worker. He's the guy that shows up. He's the Bret Hart. That's my fear. You know, Bret Hart was the champion in the worst economic era of wrestling. And that's the thing. All the Dave Meltzerites loved Bret Hart too. You know, all ridiculous. He needed.
You know, Bruce, it's funny you mention it, because I tried to watch Bret Hart, I think, had two Coliseum videos. And I tried to watch one of them. I did, and it was awful. And I'm a Bret Hart fan, but it was tough. I mean, you know, it was tough.
And he cried all the time too, you know, didn't get his shot. And you still have people crying about Hulk Hogan taking the title from him in 93.
And which is unreal. I mean, you know, and that's, you know, one thing I've realized listening to Bret Hart, this is the thing, like, you know, cause Bret was a fan of Hogan's. Bret is a very, he loved all of what he was a part of. He really did. You should hear the way he talks about the winged eagle belt. I mean, yeah. You could tell he could not wait. He loved holding that belt to the core of his heart. And I really do believe that, honestly, he was a huge mark a little bit in some ways, even though his style was different, for a Hulk Hogan. And I think that the fact that he, you know, it's funny how you want to kill the thing that you love the most sometimes. You want to beat it or, you know, overtake it. And I think, you know, Brett's a pretty broken fellow that way. And we could save that for a greater discussion. But you're right. Look at the product that he gave to the world in terms of being a leader. And it just is just, yeah. I mean, some of that is good. I watched, there's a really good match. I think it was a dark match that might've just been released. I don't really know, but it was Brett, Shawn Michaels, and Sid in a three-way. And that was entertaining, though one other guy would always be out the ring most of the match. But it's not the product that's going to electrify the world. You need a big persona. You need a character. You need a Stone Cold. You need a Rock to do
charisma.
That.
It's yes. Charisma. And that's a work rate does not sell. It does not sell. And that's why AEW, again, is not going to ever draw more than 1 million fans with the product that they put on. The casual fan does not care about work rate. They care about stories, and they care about a match that will keep them on the edge of their seat.
Right.
And Bret Hart Bret Hart was a great worker. Cody is a great worker, but they're not the over-the-top personality that has the charisma to bring people in the door. I'll hang on that. I'll hold on that. And they will prove true. I know it.
Absolutely. And this is, when you were saying this, it provided a spark of consideration. We need managers also, because some of these guys need to shut up. That's like you said, in terms of charisma, we need managers to, because everybody now is talking for themselves and not everybody needs to talk for themselves.
That's right.
And that is where, if you had a manager, it will, a manager that has that charisma, it will provide something different, something better. They've tried to do managers, but they don't know what they're doing anymore. It's not like when you have a Heenan or Hart or even the Grand Wizard or even anybody, a J.J. Dillon. Wasn't he the guy that used to wear the white suit?
The Horseman, yeah.
Yeah. You know,
Paul Heyman does a good job. I mean, with Roman Reigns and,
you know,
and
I've never been a fan of his, Bruce. Never. You like Paul Heyman?
I think Paul Heyman is the closest thing to the old school managers. And you know, that's the other thing I was going to say, and I forgot. I lost track of my point, but with the whole thing about, and just going back to work rate and Cody and Bret Hart, you know. People always complain about Hulk Hogan not defending the belt as much as Bret Hart did. And the thing is, Bret Hart had to, because that's all he had was the work rate and working every week. Roman Reigns, people are talking about, you know, his 1,300 days as champion doesn't mean as much because he's only had 55 title defenses. Because right. He doesn't defend it as much as some of the others did. And the point is that he doesn't have to. And that makes it special when he wrestles. Because if he wrestled every week, he wouldn't be special. Andre the Giant was not special for a period of time working in the 70s because you saw him every week, so it wasn't an attraction. Vince Sr. knew how to make him an attraction by not putting him out there every week and sending him around the territories.
Well, Bruce, that goes into too much TV. I mean, so let's figure this out. It's funny because I know we're running long.
Yeah, we got a wrap.
but
3-year-old and a 5-year-old that are going to get up early tomorrow.
But let me ask you. So, geez, I just lost my point. Dang it! See, we're getting old, man, or I'm getting old. I'll take that. But okay, so Roman hasn't defended, but there's too much TV. Mm-hmm. So how do you find that balance of being able to have an active heavyweight champion with reducing TV, how do you do that? And
so
go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. I can I answer that?
Yeah. Shoot.
So that's where Heyman comes in. Like, and this is the same thing with The Rock and all the people that are saying, well, you know, is he even going to show up on TV next week? No. He doesn't have to. That's why he's a superstar, because when he does show up, you're going to be on your feet. Right. So instead of Roman Reigns being on every show like Cody is, Cody's on Raw, SmackDown, he's out there talking, you know, his mess every week. And the thing is, instead of Roman being on Raw, they sent Paul Heyman out to do the bidding. And that makes the star bigger, because Paul is doing the work. And then when he does show up on SmackDown, it's bigger. It feels more special. And the fans of today that are out there complaining on Twitter just don't get it. They just don't get it.
Yeah, it's a weird business. Even trying to, it's like, how do you, when you're crying for a need in a successful business, that makes the conversation strange, because the detractors can always say, well, it's the biggest that it's ever been, with, you know, and you've mentioned it multiple times. So we're stuck in that conundrum where it's like, you can't deny that it's success, but we know that they also, you know, aren't getting the viewership that they would get in a Saturday night's main event.
Right.
You know, they were pulling in, you know, quadruple the numbers. I mean, sometimes even greater than that. And, you know, so we know that the product is, the culture is different. So it's about how do we, you know, even though things are successful, they're still empty. So maybe we could actually do that in a future show, is really, you know, in between then and now, or now and then, we can figure out how would we reshape the product today. Because I mean, we're just doing it off the cuff.
Yeah.
But I mean, in terms of really thinking about TV, what you just mentioned with how often Reigns defends the title with versus how long that he's had it. How would we shape the product today? I think we should really think deeply about that and maybe lay it out.
I'm writing that down so we don't forget. How will we shape the product today? Episode 17 of Wrestling with History. And I just want to remind everybody, and you'll see where I'm going here, you follow us on X at WWHVOC. Make sure if you love the product, rate and review it on your favorite podcast app. You know, we started before Dave LaGreca had busted open. Once upon a time, we had probably a bigger audience, and we want to do that again. So hopefully you like what you're hearing. We don't have Bully Ray and Mark Henry and some of the other big stars anymore right now, but who knows? You never know who's going to join Namar and I at some point here in the future. So keep listening, keep telling your friends, the Chinese listeners, we love you. We're number one over there. And Namar, we'll go back, and next time we'll really set this up, and we'll talk about how we would rewrite the current product. If I would do it at all. How about I fix AEW, you fix WWE? Is that a good project for next time?
Yep.
And we'll come back to the peeps next week.
Let's do it.
All right. Well, for the Captain Charisma, Magnus, King Magnus, Namar Wells, the voice of choice, Bruce Swirt. Thanks for bearing with us for a long show. You got extra bonus time here. This is Wrestling with History on the VOC Nation Wrestling Network. Make sure you check out this theme music, though, before you go and turn off the podcast.